This is Eagles Game Plan. Coming up on the show, we're going to take a look at the Eagles 3-3 start, in which five of the six games were decided by 3 points or less. We'll also figure out what the Eagles need to do coming out of their bye week in order to get back on track. We've got a few ideas. Stick around. Eagles Game Plan starts right now. Welcome to Eagles Game Plan. I'm Brian Baldinger, along with Mike Quick and Ike Reese. And Ike, the defense had the lead in the fourth quarter, 23-13, 10-point lead. How'd this one slip away?
I have no idea, Baldy. You know, 2 weeks ago, the Pittsburgh game, the offense had a lead, 6.5 minutes to go. You say, okay, maybe that's not the defense's fault the game is over there. But with a 10-point lead, with 5 and change left in the game, if you're a championship-caliber defense, you have to seal the deal. 10-point lead, 5.5 to go.
Finish it.
Got to finish the game. Got to finish it.
Mike, when Macklin went on the 70-yard touchdown pass, they go up 23-13. I thought it was done. I thought the Eagles just secured their fourth win.
Yeah, you know, Ike talked about the defense, but, you know, the offense has to play their part as well. You have the 4-minute drill offensively where you're supposed to be able to run time off the clock. You've got to be able to do that. You've got to establish the line of scrimmage. You've got to be able to get first downs in that situation and run time off the clock so that you don't give the other team time to get back in the ball game.
I thought there was just a lack of playmaking. You know, playmaking on defense. You got the one interception from Nnamdi. Nice double coverage. Stafford threw into it. I thought offensively, all right, you give up the lead, you still got a chance to go pad that lead. Go finish the game out.
Another reoccurring problem, fellas, is kicking field goals as opposed to scoring touchdowns.
Absolutely.
We all know Brent Celek, offensive pass interference, was totally bogus, but it still counts. They didn't get a touchdown out of that drive, had to kick another field goal, and Detroit just hung around long enough to make a run in the fourth quarter.
Ike, you mentioned the Brent Celek offensive pass interference. Well, me and Mike are going to break down that play and a few others that I think helped decide the fate of the game against the Lions. Mike, let's get to it. I mean, they go to a dime defense there in the fourth quarter. Yeah. And they want Brandon Hughes in the game to cover Tony Scheffler.
Yep.
I mean, so Michael Kendricks is out of the game. Brandon Hughes is in the game. They've got him in there. And look, I mean, these things happen. But, I mean, he's there to plaster the receiver. He takes his eyes off him.
Well, and also, Nate Allen's out of the game. You've got Colt Anderson at that deep safety.
Right.
And both these guys take too much of a look into the backfield. Scheffler's in the game because he's a pass-catching tight end.
Yep.
That's why Hughes is on him. But that safety, he has got to stay deep. But he wants to come up and get involved. And also, Hughes puts his eyes in the backfield, loses the tight end. When you're a safety in the National Football League, you know you've got to be the deepest guy.
All right, so they give up the 7-play, 80-yard drive. They get back in the game here, Mike. Now, a couple things about this officiating bothered me, Mike, because last week...
Just Brent, you?
Well, okay, it bothered both of us.
Yeah.
All right, last week against Pittsburgh, Brent Celek catches a 2-yard touchdown pass against the safety, Ryan Mundy.
Right.
I mean, this is just a stick route, Mike. He's just trying to get quick separation, and Mike Vick is looking for him. It's a perfect throw. It's a great route.
Yep.
He gets a separation. Now, same play last week against the Lions. Here it is. You got one-on-one coverage, DeAndre Levy and Brent Celek. The exact same route, the exact same look right here.
Listen, not only that, it's the exact amount of contact, I think, that you saw the week before.
Now, that was a touchdown against Pittsburgh. That's offensive pass interference right there. I mean, at some point you just go, boy, you know, that's a huge play in the game right there.
And you know they ended up getting 3 points on that series rather than that touchdown, which could have been the difference.
Could have been the difference. On Eagles game plan last week, Mike, we showed DeSean Jackson 2 years ago in Mike Vick's first start as an Eagle in the slot working one-on-one against this safety. He's going to get inside him. They're going to tie up this safety on the other side.
Yep.
And they're going to complete a pass here, go for 53 yards.
That's right.
We knew it was coming. I mean, the Lions had to know this play was coming. And Mike Vick throws this ball perfect. He lays it out there. There's no safety in the middle of the field right now. He leads DeSean. DeSean is able to catch up to it right there on the other hash. Big moment in the game, I thought, this past Sunday. Mike, same route, okay?
Yep.
This time it's going to be against the corner, but it's going to be play action pass. It's going to be 8-man protection right here. This is a deep shot for DeSean Jackson.
It's the same exact route. You know, he tries to get him moving on a corner route.
Yep.
He goes back to the post, and he's got so much feel to the other side. All Michael's got to do is throw the football away from the safety area and lead DeSean Jackson to a touchdown.
Yeah. I mean, he throws it straight down the hash. All he has to do is just lead him here. I mean, I think this is a pretty good angle if you just freeze it now. Because, I mean, I know Mike took a lot of hits and all that, but this right here.
No, this is solid.
Is exactly what you want.
Right.
That's perfect cup protection. Everybody is bouncing. Everybody. Mike's got a lot of room here to kind of maneuver, get comfortable, and lay this ball up. And you can see, freeze it. I mean, that's why Deshaun's turning around. All it has to do is being thrown that way.
And see, Deshaun takes a long time to even look for the ball because he wants to work that defender and get across the field and then locate the football. But it's just not there. You talk about wanting to have one back. Well, I know that's one that he wished that he had had back.
We bring in Ike Reese right now to talk about the pass rush, Ike, because everybody knows 3 games right now in a row, no sacks. So let's take a look at what these teams are doing. Is it the protection or is it the pass rush? Let's take a look at a few plays here.
Well, I'll tell you what, Baldy, and I know no one wants to hear this, but teams are game planning the Eagles front four. They aren't giving them very many single blocks to sort of have success against. They're leaving in 7 guys at least, sometimes even 8 with the backs chipping. And the Eagles front four is having a very difficult time hitting to the quarterback.
Like right here, you're going to get 4 double teams right there. I mean, literally, 2 guys on each pass rusher. 4 rushers, 8 blockers. And so Stafford has time to get the ball over the middle to Calvin Johnson on that one. It's almost every single game right now. There's a game plan for this. Let's take a look here at the Giants right now. You freeze it right here. I mean, there's a double team. There's a double team. There's a double team for a while. Mm-hmm. Now, eventually, though, these double teams become single blocks. And so right now, Cullen Jenkins has a chance to win one-on-one. But by that time, the ball is already out.
Well, and I tell you the other thing that hurts the Eagles at times is if the opposing team knows your game plan coming into the game. What I mean by that is if you're going to rush just strictly 4, then it's going to be easy for an offense to devise a blocking scheme to help get their quarterback some time to throw the ball.
I think it's too predictable right here. 4-man rush right now. I mean, there's no overloads. There's no disguise at this point. I mean, the Steelers are all up there. They've got 7 men up there to block. I mean, if you want to say there's a double and there's a double and there's a double, all that is true. You know, on the outside, Cullen Jenkins gets the one-on-one. Roethlisberger's going to force this throw right here. He's got an open Mike Wallace. He overthrows him, so there's no sack on the play, but it does force an errant throw.
That's a good pressure right there from Cullen Jenkins because you know, Baldy, even if you don't get the sack, you want to get the quarterback off his mark, hurry to pass, and on that play, the sack wasn't there, but the hurry was there, and the quarterback wasn't comfortable throwing the ball.
When Eagles' game plan returns, we've got the report card for a handful of rookies through the first 6 games of the season. We also have unearthed some trends that Greg Cosell has found from his cave at NFL Films. You don't want to go anywhere. Stick around right here on Eagles Game Plan. Eagles Game Plan is brought to you by Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment. Sports Authority for all things sporting good. And by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy. Welcome back to Eagles Game Plan. We've showed you some of the critical errors that led to an Eagles loss on Sunday against the Lions that now have them sitting at 3-3. And it's fair to say that they've got a lot of things to work out. But one area that has improved is against the blitz. We're going to go to senior producer Greg Cosell over at NFL Films, where he has some interesting insight to how Mike Vick is competing against the blitz.
Thanks, Baldy. One of the things I've really noticed through the first part of this season with the Eagles, and of course it's been a disappointing 3-3 as we enter the bye week, but if you just look at the last 3 games, Michael Vick and this offense have performed far better against the blitz than they have in the first 3 games. And there's numerical evidence of that. So if we go look at the last 3 games with Michael Vick's numbers against the blitz, here they are. He's 28 for 42, which is almost 67%, for 398 yards and 4 touchdowns. He's also run 3 times for 20 yards. So those are very, very good numbers against the blitz in the last 3 games. There were numerous plays to choose from to show an example of this, but the one that really stood out to me was the 70-yard touchdown against the Lions last week to Jeremy Maclin. And what I really liked about it, in addition to the great execution, was the concept behind it. And you can see that as we take a look at the play. Notice that DeSean Jackson motions to bunch. He will motion outside of Jason Avant and Jeremy Maclin. Notice, too, that the corner, Houston, runs with him. A very good indicator pre-snap of man-to-man coverage. And this was 3rd and 4, which is a man-to-man down. Now, notice that Houston does not run all the way with Jackson. He stays inside over Jason Avant. Jeremy Maclin is now the point man in the bunch. Bunch is very hard to defend man-to-man because of releases. The receivers don't always end up where they initially are aligned, and that's exactly what happens here. You'll notice that Houston and Bentley run with Avant. Nobody runs with Jeremy Maclin because Maclin started as the point man in the bunch and then ran to the inside. Nobody ran with him. So Maclin is wide open, and Michael Vick makes a terrific throw for a 70-yard touchdown. But there's another part to this, and that's the pass protection. Notice that LeSean McCoy crosses the formation to pick up the blitzing safety Coleman. Very important. Scan protection, cross the formation. This play was a great example of concept and execution working really effectively against blitz. You have Michael Vick clean in the pocket. You have a wide receiver open against an anticipated coverage. This has been going on now for 3 weeks. The Eagles have improved dramatically against the blitz, and I would look forward to that continuing coming off the bye week.
There has been critical, timely errors in these three losses right now. I think we all can agree on that. It really helped swing the game. I mean, there's the sack fumble touchdown in the Arizona Cardinal game. The third and 12 conversion by Antonio Brown, the Steelers, and then last week, I mean, pick a play. I mean, the third and 15 wheel route touchdown to Nate Burleson. These, they keep showing up in this bye week here, Ike. How do you start correcting some of these mistakes that seems to come back and bite them right now?
Well, I think I had to start with the head coach, Baldy and Mike. I mean, it's self-evaluation. That's what bye weeks are best for you to take a look at yourself. Look at what you had planned coming into the season, how it's unfolded, and what you need to do to correct those things to go forward. So if you're honest with yourself and you say, okay, this was our idea coming in, we wanted to do this, but it hasn't been successful, should we move on to something else or try another player at a different position?
Mike's exactly right. This is when you really detail your work. You look at what you've done and what you've done well and what you need to improve on, and you get to work. You talked a little bit about Michael Vick and how he's improved in his blitz pickup, and that's really what it's all about. That's what you're talking about. In that Cardinals game, when he got hit from the backside, he should have recognized that and gotten out of that play, gotten that football out. That's the type of detail that you've got to work on going forward in this season.
I'm feeling confident, though, Baldy.
Yeah.
The coach is 13-0 after bye weeks. He knows how to self-evaluate. His winning percentage after the bye week through the rest of the season, 70% plus. I mean, this is a coach that he realizes when he makes mistakes prior to that bye week, he does what he needs to do to get them corrected. And for whatever reason, his players, coaches, the entire staff, they come back rejuvenated and they play better prior to that bye
week. You know, Ike, I never believed that the season really starts until the frost is on the pumpkin. Over half the league is 3-3.
Yeah.
I mean, it's wide open right now. So anything can happen, but the biggest thing I think for the Eagles is to stop beating themselves. I think if they do that, I think they're going to have a really good final 10 games this season. In the first 6 weeks of the season, we've seen five rookies have significant playing time, significant contributions. We're going to take a look at their report cards here from what we think through the first 6 weeks. Like, I think there's a lot to be excited about, some of the rookies that have been performing. Let's go inside right here to the defensive tackle, Fletcher Cox. As a linebacker here, I mean, D'Amico Ryans has to love what he's doing.
Are you kidding me? Man's best friend. Take on the double team and allow D'Amico Ryans to fit in that hole and stop Isaac Redman. Great job by Fletcher Cox. Unselfish play. Takes on the double team.
Here he is against Chris Snea, an all-pro guard. Just plays through his outside shoulder right now. Gets penetration, stacks him, sheds him there, Ike. Yeah. Gets it on the tackle.
And like you said, Baldy, penetration. He's pushing the offensive lineman back. He defeats his blocker after that in Chris Knee, but it also allows the other linebackers to flow to the football.
Well, one guy that can flow to the football that we have talked about is Michael Kendricks on this particular play. I mean, this is a guy that's very active. He's got great speed, Ike. He plays with good pad level. He knows how to find the football.
Yeah, I love his redirection. First of all, he secures his gap, which is an SC gap, and he's able to slide right back in there and get in on the tackle.
And he can get through this soup here, Ike. I mean, he skates through traffic right now. His eyes are in the right place, and there's a little reverse right here. I mean, this is just great lateral speed to go clean that play up.
I mean, if he's not there, that receiver is still running for at least another 10 or 15 yards. And that's all hustle play by Michael Kendricks right there. That wasn't even his responsibility, which is except to get to the football.
And then the other rookie out of Georgia has been Brandon Boykin. He's been the slot defender for much of the season. Good job week one here against Cleveland.
Yeah, you saw his potential early in the season here against Muhammad Massaquah. Two-man coverage. He's underneath. No safety help, really. He lays out to break that pass up. Great athlete, and this is where you want your best athletes at, on those slot receivers. It's not the third receiver in the slot anymore, Baldy. Sometimes they're putting their best receivers in that slot, and Boykin is getting matched up against them.
And that's what they do here. Anquan Boldin in the slot right here. He's going to take this seam post here, and great hang time, defended that ball, never allowed it to get over the top. Good play by Boykin.
These guys are playing so well in their first six games. It's scary to realize that they are going to get better as they get more familiar with the NFL game and comfortable in their own athletic ability. These three are very good.
I think these three are going to be counted on to really make some plays down the stretch here, Ike. I wouldn't be surprised to see these guys influence the outcome of some of these games that are coming up.
Yes. And when Eagles game plan returns, Mike Quick and I will take a look at some of the Eagles NFC East foes right here on Eagles game plan.
Welcome back to Eagles Game Plan. Ike, let's take a look around the NFC East and some of the other teams that the Eagles are going to face when they come back off the bye, particularly the Washington Redskins.
Yeah, Redskins team much better than a lot of people anticipated coming into the season. And it's mainly because of Robert Griffin III, second overall pick in the draft, Heisman Trophy winner. He's changed the culture down there. Not a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball, but this guy's finding ways to win ball games through the air and with his legs.
Well, let's show you a perfect example of that. He's got a 3-by-1 set with a single high safety. He knows right away that he's probably going to get man coverage.
The worst thing about playing man coverage against a guy like Robert Griffin or Michael Vick, this is what they can do to you. Man coverage, your back is to the offense. You can't see what the quarterback is doing. And are you kidding me? Robert Griffin III runs through the Minnesota defense, outruns the safety angle, and is laughing at the cornerback as he chases him up the field.
See, right away, he knows, I've got man coverage. The only guy I've got to worry about is that free safety in the middle.
Look at the strength of his arm on this play here. He's going to roll out to his left. He knows he has single coverage back here on the backside, eludes the tackler, the defender, and throws a frozen rope to the tight end Fred Davis here up the left-hand sideline. Take a look at something that the Dallas Cowboys are doing. Here's a team not living up to expectations. 2-3 right now, and a lot of it is because the quarterback and his receivers typically aren't on the same page. Prime example.
Well, you've got Dez Bryant out, and Romo knows he's got to get rid of the football early, but Dez Bryant, wide receiver trying to do his own thing, he wants to get down the field, and it's a pick six against the Cowboys.
Yeah, Dallas struggling with that offense, tons of talent, but they can't get on the right page. New York Giants defending Super Bowl champions. Yep. Boy, started off a little slow, but they look like defending Super Bowl champions right now.
Again, a one-on-one situation, single high safety, and in the slot position is that Cruz guy again, and he's going to salsa.
That salsa. We don't want to see that salsa dance, but you're right. Eli Manning is playing at an MVP level right now. Again, the deficiencies on the Giants team, Eli is covering them up with great quarterback play. He and Victor Cruz, one of the best duos in the NFL right now.
Welcome back to Eagles Game Plan. And guys, just some final thoughts here. I mean, the first 6 weeks of the season, Ike, are you down on this performance so far? Where do you stand?
A little frustrated because I know they can be better. When a team beats itself, it becomes frustrating because you're not realizing your full potential. So when I look at the team, I'm saying to myself, they are what their record shows. They play well enough and bad enough to be 3-3.
Mike, but opportunities to be 5-1.
Yeah, you know, I understand they have to be frustrated because they could be, as you said, 5-1. You look at this defense and you're expecting them to put more pressure, to get more hits on the quarterback. They have to be frustrated that they're not getting and they're not reaching their potential.
Mike, I think the team comes back refocused and recharged. I know we'll be back here next week, refocused, recharged. When we advance and take a look at the Atlanta Falcons sitting at 6-0, perfect. Only team left undefeated in the league. For Mike Quick and Ike Reese, I'm Brian Baldinger. We'll see you here next week on Eagles Game Plan. Eagles Game Plan is brought to you by Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment. Sports Authority for all things sporting good. And by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.